streaming on the Civic Media app.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes. Election night in America with people in at least 37 states at the polls. Ohio voted to enshrine abortion rights in the state constitution, a projected yes on issue one that protects the right to abortion through fetal viability around 40 weeks of pregnancy. ABC News projects Republican Governor Tate Reeves has won re-election in Mississippi. Kentucky's Democratic governor became the third chief executive in that state to win two consecutive terms, and he did it in a predominantly Republican state. ABC's Andy Field.
Democratic Governor Andy Beshear saying he withstood personal attacks from Political Action Committee ads and that his re-election win showed a majority of Kentucky voters ignored them.
A choice to reject Team R or Team D and to state clearly that we are one Team Kentucky.
Democrat Andy Beshear pushed for women keeping the right to choose abortion in a primarily Republican state.
This is ABC News. Beware the bling on your steering wheel. Safety regulators say some decals people are using can be dangerous.
They're metal or plastic emblems adorned with rhinestones and attached to the steering wheel of a car or SUV, sometimes promoting the vehicle's brand name. But those little aftermarket decals sold on places like Amazon, Etsy, and Temu can cause serious injuries if the airbag deploys in a crash. The rhinestones can turn into little projectiles, says the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. At least one driver lost sight in an eye after the rhinestone sticker on the steering wheel became dislodged and hit them in the face. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
A blue diamond sold for more than $44 million at auction, way higher than the $35 million Christie's estimated it would fetch. The vivid blue pear-shaped diamond is 17.61 carats and is on a ring called the Blue Royale. Four people were charged after a solid gold toilet called America was stolen from Winston Churchill's birthplace. It was valued at nearly $6 million. Lionel Moyes, ABC News.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
I had tweeted out after the second game of the year, a hot take. I said, by the end of the year, we will see Braden Locke as the starting quarterback of the Wisconsin Badgers. Now, Mr. Mordecai broke his hand. And by golly, not the way I thought it would happen, but Braden Locke has become the starting quarterback.
And another finger on the monkey's paw curls.
Where did you get that one?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Milwaukee Brewers are being asked to chip in more to maintain American Family Field for the next 27 years. Wis Politics reports an amendment to the ballpark bill would increase the Brewers' contribution by $10 million. The ask from taxpayers would go down by $36 million. Senators are adjusting the bill that passed the Assembly to address the concerns of enough lawmakers to get the 17 votes necessary to pass. Plans for the National Football League draft in Green Bay are coming together. The league says it will happen on April 24th through the 26th in 2025. Fox Valley leaders are counting on as many as 250,000 football fans to come to Northeast Wisconsin for the draft. Organizers are still working on the details, but most of the events will happen in and around Lambeau Field. Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Mets say they were surprised, too. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Craig Counsell says he decided to leave the Brewers because he needed a new challenge. Counsell named the new manager of the Cubs at the baseball managers' meetings in Scottsdale. Mets president David Stearns was asked if he was surprised Counsell picked Chicago and not New York.
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I'll say, look, I love Craig. Craig and I are going to be close, hopefully, for a long time. I think he's very good at what he does. And throughout this whole process, you know, what I told Craig is he needs to make the right choice for himself.
NFL, the Packers head to Pittsburgh to face the Steelers Sunday. Matt LaFleur says that wide receiver Christian Watson did not suffer a concussion in their win Sunday. The Rams announced that they released quarterback Brett Rippon and signed Carson Wentz. College football, the Badgers are at home this Saturday against Northwestern. Luke Fickell on what he told his players after losing in Indiana for the first time in over 20 years.
What I laid into a little bit after the game was something that I feel like, you know, at times it's okay to be pissed.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies overnight with a chance for scattered showers. Lows level off around 37. Southeasterly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered showers tomorrow, 48. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 42.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Dom, the Tuesday, 1 year from the election. Happier, happy hour.
Happy hour, Crudy.
And I'm happy to thank our most recent guest, Joseph Pecky. I think he's out there waiting for us for cocktails. And we introduce a new guest, a returning champ. He is the Democratic Party of Wisconsin chairman, Ben Wickler, in the Solidarity Realty Studios. First time down here on the new place. Ben, welcome.
Crute, Dom, great to be with you. Love being on State Street, that great street here in Madison, Wisconsin, the city of my childhood, my adulthood, and my love.
Nice. Good to see you, Ben.
I can't wait till 4 years like these current freshmen at UW are never going to remember a time when there wasn't civic media here at the near head of State Street. Ben, obviously the election, it never really stops, but 1 year from today, or, you know, I know it really is the fifth, as Joe pointed out, but nearly 1 year from today, first Tuesday of November, what's your mood today?
I think where we sit right now is a gigantic fight that will take an enormous amount of work, where the people's hearts are with us in terms of the issues, where people want to hear why they need to actually get out and vote and cast their ballot for Democrats. And if we do that work, we're going to win. If we don't do it, we won't win. And I think if you look at the polls, if you look at the mood in the country, essentially, Democrats, the job of anyone who wants to save American democracy is to use every possible minute in this year to engage with people and make clear what the stakes are and how their power to cast a ballot could tilt us one way or the other. It's not one of these elections where external conditions decides what happens. It's not a foregone conclusion. Destiny is, you know, a landslide one way or the other. This will be a fight to the finish, but I think that we can pull it out and we can make this the election that puts an end to MAGAism once and for all.
Ben, you've clearly seen the new polling out, the swing state polling, New York Times, Siena College poll. And here in Wisconsin, Joe Biden retains a narrow 2-point lead over the presumptive Republican nominee, Trump. But in a lot of swing states, in the blue wall states, the states that Biden won back that Hillary did not, Georgia, Nevada, Arizona, I think Pennsylvania and Michigan, in all of those states, the incumbent, Joe Biden, our guy, he's trailing Ben. And obviously, it's a year till the election, but it's got to create a pause. So what do you make of the polling?
So dig into that poll, and you'll see that in most of these states, there's very little difference between Trump and Biden on the question of democracy. And not a huge difference, even on abortion. In Wisconsin, Biden has a 15-point advantage on the question of who would handle our democracy better. And I think it might be reversing this, like 13-point advantage on abortion. And if you ask why that is, look at what's happened in our state over this last year. We had a gigantic, the most expensive judicial race in American history, where questions around reproductive freedom and democracy were front and center. This fall, we've had the Republican attempt to impeach our Supreme Court justice, another huge wave of organizing, of ads, of conversation around the state about the Republican threat to overturn elections and destroy our democracy. And so here in Wisconsin, the stakes in the election are more vivid than they are in other places. Other states haven't had an election for a year. Here we've had an election and an attempt to undo the election all within this last year. I think that speaks to the impact of the work that we have to do. And to me, this is the recipe that we have to use in these other states. We have to fight the fight. We have to make absolutely clear what's on the line. People don't want to grow up in a military dictatorship. Trump is talking about the Insurrection Act to be able to send in the military to put down protests around the country. That's what he's planning if he comes back into office. None of that is in voters' minds at this moment. And as you can see, if people don't know the stakes, then the election becomes really tough. The work of a campaign, the work of organizers, of activists, of people who of good faith across the political spectrum who want to live in a democracy where they have fundamental freedoms is to make sure that voters get what is going on.
Bit of a digression. Ben Wickler, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin chairman, the former president, Donald Trump, just earlier today pressuring the Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss to what? Go impeach Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Administrator Megan Wolf. They're trying to wade into electoral politics in real time, in current tense, Ben.
Well, this is exactly it, right? Trump is afraid that he cannot win a fair election in Wisconsin. So what's his solution? It's not to change his message or moderate or try to reach out to the voters who disagree. It is to try to mangle our system of democracy, to try to take out someone who ran a free and fair election that he lost in 2020. Who just oversaw and make sure that voters could cast their ballots. Trump's response to the fact that he's behind in Wisconsin is to try to rig the electoral system in this one state, the tipping point state in the Electoral College. It makes our case for us. It makes the case for the work we have to do to defend our democracy, but it also makes our case to the public for why Trump is such a danger, because he fundamentally does not believe in democracy, wanted to terminate the Constitution, wants to deploy the military against American citizens to crush dissent. I mean, the threat is so real. And we have 1 year. Fortunately, it's a leap year, so we get an extra day. We get now 363 days to make
Joe Sopecki made that point before you, Ben.
Folks are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Ben Wickler, he's the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin in studio on State Street. Ben, good to see you. Some people on this panel have, you know, read some articles and lamented the efforts, perhaps, of the Democratic Party or Democratic candidates in reaching out to rural blue-class voters. I want to get your sense on that, what the effort has been. And is it important to have candidates, even in a district that's very difficult to win, to be out there, if to martyr themselves, if nothing else, to have that message out there for the overall vote? What's your sense on that? What's the effort been like?
There are Democrats everywhere in Wisconsin, and it is critical to have candidates everywhere in Wisconsin. And I spent this weekend knocking on doors, crisscrossing our state. I was in La Crosse, Eau Claire, and Tomahawk, and went up to Superior, Appleton, Fond du Lac, Glendale, back to Madison. All over our state, we had door-to-door canvasses in 58 out of the 72 counties this weekend. We had 425 door-to-door canvasses across 115 different communities, most of them very small. And we reached out to 105,000 voters across Wisconsin, people who have not voted for Democrats in the past or who have missed many elections recently, to check in and see what is on their minds and how we can earn their vote. The work is an uphill battle. At the same time, it is so energizing for folks. I was just on the phone with Ruth Caves, the chair of the Washera County Dems. That is a very Republican county. But there are Democrats there. And when they know that someone's actually making an effort to earn their vote and that if they put their work in, find a couple more Democrats per precinct, they might lose 70-30 in their county. But if they lose 70-30 instead of 25-75, that can add up to a statewide victory. So to me, this is absolutely critical work. And it's why we invest in year-round organizers in rural parts of Wisconsin, not just in the big urban centers where national media comes to figure out whether Dems have it.
You know, Crudy's just bought some land in Washura County. We got a second residence. We can move up there full time like Tim Michaels, 183 days a year.
So what about the messaging? I mean, obviously, abortion was a big one. You know, democracy is on the ballot. Do you think that's going to continue to resonate here? Or, I mean, it's another year out. A lot can happen in a year. I mean, look where were you a year ago, 2 years ago. Looking out another year from now, it's hard to predict. What do you think the message, the main issues of the voters of Wisconsin are going to be then?
So the big picture message to me is a Democratic Party that believes in freedom and opportunity and common sense against an extremist MAGA party that is trying to ban abortion, overturn democracy, ban books, and take away opportunities to give giant tax cuts to the ultra wealthy. It's the contrast between a party that wants the next generation to grow up at least as free and with as many opportunities and more as the previous generations have had, against a party that wants to build a, would it be a bridge? Would it be a tunnel to 1849. I mean, the Republican Party at this point is so out of touch with what most people everywhere want. And if you look at the individual issues, starting with abortion, it's both profoundly personal about the basic questions that people have if they're thinking about starting a family or growing their family, whether they will be able to get the healthcare that they need. And it also speaks to the overall mindset of a MAGA Republican Party that is trying to control people and take away their freedoms and rights. So to me, that contrast between extremism and common sense and freedom and authoritarianism, that's the heart. And there's so many specific issues within that that you can see on things like gun violence, Republicans trying to make sure domestic abusers can get guns. That kind of stuff all feeds into this bigger picture question of who's on your side.
Ben Wickler, Dem Chair of Wisconsin. We had Angela Lang from Block On earlier today, and we were talking about her yesterday as well. This article done on CNN with John King, talking about some of the canvassers from her organization that went out and talking, you know, pounding the doors, and people aren't really engaged, or, you know, they weren't there. Well, they haven't done anything for me. Why would I go vote for them? And that kind of thing. And I get that, you know. So I wonder if expectations can be too high. How do you engage people but temper the expectations? So, and just because you vote for a candidate because you get involved doesn't mean you're going to get X, Y, and Z. How do you balance that by trying to motivate them but also being realistic on what the expectations would be?
So one of the big things is that Democrats have passed bills that are going to change lives. But some of those shovels haven't gone into the ground yet. So, for example, in the bipartisan infrastructure bill, which in Wisconsin is the Democratic infrastructure bill because every Republican voted against it, there's funding to remove every lead lateral pipe in the country, including everyone in the city of Milwaukee. Now, there are Milwaukee families who've been waiting, calling out for safe drinking water, for removing those lead pipes for generations. And finally, Democrats have gotten it done in the sense that they passed the bill. But until you see your pipe removed and the new one put in, you'll believe it when you see it. So this is now implementation time. And over the next year, my hope is, and my expectation is, more and more of these projects are actually going to happen. People will see the change in their own communities and their own neighborhoods. And they'll see how Republicans are talking about removing these things, repealing the investments that are going to make a difference in people's lives. That's a contrast that can lead to victory.
Ben, my understanding, we're short on time in this segment, but 22,000 green jobs supposed to be coming here in the state of Wisconsin, 11 gigabytes of solar and wind energy coming to the state. Those might affect people's perceptions, would they not?
Absolutely. I think that the actual change in people's lives counts. I think what doesn't do it is a bill that hasn't been implemented yet. We saw that with the Affordable Care Act in 2010, right? People were not excited about it. But then when Republicans tried to take away what people were actually getting in 2018, repealing the Affordable Care Act, that lost the election for the Republicans. And that is the moment that we're in. We're in the moment where the football is in the air. We haven't yet caught it in the end zone, so we need to keep running so we can grab it.
Hopefully it's not Christian Watson out there. He might get hurt.
Don't get hurt, man.
We got Ben Wickler. He's the Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair. More with our good friend Ben on the other side.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. It's the Badgers and Wildcats at Camp Randall Stadium. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
WLAK, 1260 AM, Lake Air Amory.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba...
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Make sure you get the Civic Media app. It's super cool. You can get it at your app store. You can click on, listen to the Devil's Advocates. You can just click a button. You can call. You can text the Civic Media app for you. Bring the Devils everywhere you go.
And Dom, if you've got that same said Civic Media app, you can listen to the Badger basketball game. We tip off tonight. Badgers first game of the season, at least non-exhibition, 7 p.m. Arkansas State. The Red Wolves, the opponent, playing at the Kohl Center right down the road from me here, Dom. Badgers tip off tonight. We've got our own sports reporter. He is Mike Clemens. This guy's covering a lot of sports right now for us. Mike, live from Green Bay. It's got to feel good to see a Packer win this weekend.
Hey, Mike.
I don't mean to be Debbie Downer, but I just didn't think it was a really good game. Sean McVay is an excellent coach. He's been to the Super Bowl twice, won it once. There's a lot of things Matt LaFleur has learned from Sean, even though he's a couple years younger. These guys are friends. But, you know, can you imagine what it's like to be the owner of the Rams? Because I saw him walking off the elevator after the loss. And it's like, okay, so we got 53 players dressed, all their equipment, our families, you know, all of our staff. We got in a big plane. We flew for 4 hours to get to Wisconsin, rented all these hotel rooms to score 3 points. I mean, that's a long trip, man.
Yeah, that's a long trip.
I think the Packer fans can kind of be a little empathetic. It's felt like that of late for the Packers, but they scored, what, 20 last night? And they certainly covered the 3.5. So, Mike, what was the difference? Packers seemingly got her going in the second half again.
I don't know. It just turns out to be kind of a rhythm thing. I was surprised, really, because I'm looking hard now as to what they need to do to get to the next step in their passing game. And it's a little deeper than just, well, you know, Jordan Love is not an accurate, because his final numbers look pretty good. If you hadn't seen the game, wow, he's 20 out of 26, 228 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions, quarterback rating of 115.5. But if you really look at the game, it's like, how come every time he throws to Romeo Doubs or this new rookie, Daytonian Vicks, or Christian Watson, these guys all end up, you know, rolling around the ground. They're all like having to dive for hand grenades. You know, where's the pass where a guy is in stride and can catch the ball in his hands about, you know, the height of his helmet, and then look upfield and turn up and run for some? And you just don't see those passes because there's so many things that seem to be off with either the route, the pass protection, or the quarterback himself where he's planting his feet. And I talked about that to LaFleur today, and I said, are some of these dropbacks that Jordan Love has, they seem to be fairly deep, right? I mean, is that by design? Is that something he's doing? And you know what? I swear it was almost like Matt was like, you know, I might have to take a second look at that, even though he just watched the film today. Because he said, well, you know, sometimes it's feel, but no, it's supposed to be a 7-step drop. And it's like, okay, but there's somewhere. I mean, even the guy, when I watched the TV tape today, they were saying, wow, another lengthy drop back for Jordan Love. And then, he's the ball downfield. So that's something they're watching. Injury-wise, Christian Watson, who he made a nice catch downfield that set up that Luke Musgrave touchdown. He came up with after hitting the ground, being hit by one guy, he has a chest injury, a back injury, and a possible concussion. They ruled out that he suffered a concussion, so he's okay. But he gets hurt a lot, doesn't it? And whenever he makes a big play.
I noticed that, Michael. Mike Clements, our sports reporter, Jair Alexander returning from injury. That guy is a difference maker on the defense when he's playing healthy. I heard that's the best he's felt all year. That's the best he's played all year, don't you think, Mike?
Yeah, and, you know, What a weird situation. It was like 4.5 weeks ago, and they're at practice, and they're going against their scout team representing the opponent they're going to play. And Magoo, the backup quarterback, third-string quarterback, was playing tight end that day. And Jair said that the two of them collided midair, and that's why he's had a bad back for over a month. You know, something dumb that happened in practice against the practice squad. But he also, you know something? After a very dramatic week here last week, after Rasul Douglas suddenly traded, Jair Alexander was also a lot more comfortable in his comments, more lengthy. And I think he knows that he has to sort of step forward more as a vocal leader to both the media and the players in that locker room.
Mike Clements, our fine sports reporter. Mike, Bucks tip off tonight as well. Their sixth game of the Dame Lillard era. 3-2, not bad. I watched the other night. Dame came through down the stretch. Is every night going to be a crapshoot in the last 3 minutes?
Well, it's defense. And Adrian Griffin has even admitted to that, and something they tried Friday night that seemed to work for them. And he said, you know, I'll be honest, it wasn't me. Some of the players suggested this, is they should get Brook Lopez to drop back sooner. And it worked. I mean, he had over a dozen rebounds, I think, in that game. But they need to figure out more of their backcourt. And, you know, I mean, they've got one of the most incredible defenders in Giannis Antetokounmpo with that, when he comes up there and denies guys that are shooting at the bucket or doing put layups. But they need something more underneath the basket or on the back end of the court for defense. So, you know, they're working on that as they work together, CERN to learn with each other. Well, they got a 3-2 record heading into tonight's game in Brooklyn.
Yeah, it's early. It's also early for my Badgers. And I'm very excited about the prospect of the Wisconsin Badger basketball season. You know, we brought a lot of guys back and, you know, we got some shooters. And tonight we find out if they can put it all together. We begin the March till madness. What do you think, Mike? What can we look forward to from the Badgers hoops team this year?
I got to admit, I know they got a lot of guys coming back, but I haven't even had a chance to get down there and see their practice or so. That's why I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what they're able to do with this game today. Did you want to talk about the baseball story at all today? Or?
Oh, that Craig Counsell guy? The yes. Traitor to all Brewers? I didn't want to get there, but yeah, since you brought him up, let's talk about it. What's the insight there, Michael?
Sounds like he's getting paid, Mike.
Well, yeah. Joe Torre, when he worked for the Yankees in the early 2000s, was making $8 million a year. No one's come close to that. Most of these managers make about $4.5 million or so. Craig was getting $3.5 million this year in Milwaukee. It's kind of hard to find out managers' numbers. He's getting $8 million a year. It's a five-year, $40 million deal, and he's not going to do it with the New York Mets. He's doing it with the Chicago Cubs, 90 miles to the south. And the average season ticket holder at American Family Field is saying, there are 29 other teams, and this is the one that you had to sign with. And it's amazing. And by the way, you know, it looks like the Cubs secretly, and I mean secretly, got this deal worked out with Craig Counsell. So not only do they get their nemesis out of the way in their division with the Brewers, but, you know, they get one of the best managers. And then they tell David Ross he's been fired.
Do you think Craig Counsell will be warmly welcomed back when they come up north? You know, the Cubbies come to American Family Field, or do you think he'll get roundly booed? Because I plan on booing.
He'll get roundly booed, Mike. Roundly booed.
That is the appropriate response, Mike. Any other team but the Cubs, right?
Right, right. Right, and Bernie Brewer may even do something crude when he's there. You know what I'm saying?
I absolutely know. I would agree with that crude action from Bernie or any of the Brewers. Thank you, Mike Clemens. Go Badgers. They tip off at 7 o'clock tonight. We'll check in with you real soon, I suspect. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. We'll check in with you if you call 844-96-PARTY. It's always a party up in here when you say the Devil's Advocates.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes. Election night in America with people in at least 37 states at the polls. Ohio voted to enshrine abortion rights in the state constitution, a projected yes on issue one that protects the right to abortion through fetal viability around 40 weeks of pregnancy. ABC News projects Republican Governor Tate Reeves has won re-election in Mississippi. Kentucky's Democratic governor became the only the third chief executive in that state to win two consecutive terms, and he did it in a predominantly Republican state. ABC's Andy Field.
Democratic Governor Andy Beshear saying he withstood personal attacks from Political Action Committee ads and that his re-election win showed a majority of Kentucky voters ignored them.
A choice to reject Team R or Team D and to state clearly that we are one Team Kentucky.
Democrat Andy Beshear pushed for women keeping the right to choose abortion in a primarily Republican state.
This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Elections Commission is countering false claims made in the Wisconsin Assembly's impeachment articles against Administrator Megan Wolf. The articles list several grievances, including assertions that Wolf mismanaged Wisconsin's 2020 ballot count and that she enabled illegal absentee voting in long-term care facilities. The WEC counters that all decisions are made by its six bipartisan commissioners and not Wolf. Postal workers in Milwaukee are demanding safer working conditions. The National Association of Letter Carriers rallied at Milwaukee's downtown post office Sunday. Eight people were arrested not long ago in a mail carrier robbery ring in the city. Another letter carrier was murdered on his route. Postal workers at the rally say they want the post office to work with the union to find solutions. Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Brittany, how many barometers do you own? It's a meteorologist thing.
Tell us the truth.
I've got four in my house right now.
That's not terrible.
I scaled down.
How many did you used to have?
I give them as gifts now.
Are you re-gifting me a barometer, Brittany?
We're down to four. That sounds manageable.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies overnight with a chance for scattered showers. Lows level off around 37. Southeasterly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered showers tomorrow, 48. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM. Right now, 42.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
To the Devils Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition, 1 year and a wake up, 1 year to the election. We've had a fine group of guests today, Dom. They've included Angela Lang, our friend Joseph Pecky, and Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chairman Ben Wickler most recently. Thank you, Ben. Coming up tomorrow on the big show, we got another fine program, Dom. Congresswoman Gwen Moore, your congresswoman, our friend, and also new Marquette University Law School polling, new Wisconsin polling out. If there's new polling, Charles Franklin will be joining us in the Happier Happy Hour about 5:30, about 24 hours from now. Also, I think we're expecting Darcy Haber. We're in the namesake Solidarity Realty Studios. Look forward to having her come by. But right now, it's your time down here.
The Goonies.
844-967-2789. 1 year from the election. How you feeling? Wondered. How you feeling? Mark has been a very patient caller. If I can get there, Mark, I'm going to put you on the air. Welcome to the greatest radio show ever. Mark from Sussex, what do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say thank you guys for taking my call. And there's very, very, very few times that I agree with you, but I do agree that we need to get voters out because African-Americans, Latinos, Jewish people, young people, soccer moms, right now are all turning towards the Republican Party.
And what do you think's turning them, Mark? What do you think's making them turn away?
I think it's, number one, it's a foreign policy that's going on with between the two different countries. We've got the border. Inflation's probably number one. Crime. I think it's an incoherent Joe Biden. But I'm not a Trump fan. I don't want to put this as I'm a Trump fan, but I just think that if people look at what happened during COVID, when things were going well during the Trump era or Trump presidency, and then things turned. So I'm not sure, but I just think that there's a lot of negatives on Joe Biden. So.
Mark, let me ask you, that's an interesting perspective. Not clear that I would agree that foreign policy is driving, you know, young people from turning away from the Democrats. But, you know, certainly every administration has to deal with the legacy of the last administration to some degree, right? And the economy was pretty decent under Barack Obama, right? He had the most consecutive quarters of job growth, if I recall, ever. And then so Donald Trump, you know, had a pretty good hand starting out. And then they did the tax cuts for the rich, Mark, which didn't do a whole lot for working or poor people. And then COVID hit, and he handled COVID how he handled it. Now, we can quibble about whether or not that was proper, how Donald Trump, and if he could have done something more, but, you know, it ended up being what it was, and he kind of drove it into the ground. He didn't, you know, he didn't proactively wear the mask. He got his COVID shot in secret. You know, he kind of, you know, the ivermectin and the hydroxychloroquine and all this, you know, all these conversations that were being had, because my perception of the time, Mark, was he was obviously concerned about his reelection, and having a pandemic during a reelection and the economy's tanking is a really bad thing, so you're going to want to downplay it. But I think that has very specific causes. So, and then now we looked at what Biden did. So Biden came in, and granted, a lot of that job growth was, you know, as the pandemic eased, come back, but we're still up. Is my analysis wrong, Mark? Where do you think that I'm going wrong in looking back and how the folks that you say are leaving the Dem Party for the Republicans?
Well, I'm not sure exactly, but I will agree with you 100% that those were not job creators. Those were job people that were coming back to their jobs. So thank you for clarifying that. The other thing is, I'm not sure, but I think all the promises that the Democrat Party makes to every one of those, to the African-Americans, Latinos, the Jewish, the young people, none of it's coming true. So, again, how long do you hang on?
Let me ask you, Mark.
Maybe they're seeing the light.
Specific policy, Mark. Bounce back grants in the state of Wisconsin. Governor Tony Evers utilized federal money coming from the Biden administration, basically signed off only by Democrats, and turn that money around into small grants for small businesses to go rent up vacant commercial real estate. Mark, I think this has been one of the best economic development drivers in the state of Wisconsin's history. And I would compare this to, let's say, Foxconn under Scott Walker and Donald Trump. What do you think is a better idea? Spread the money around to small business or give it all to some foreign corporation?
Yeah, you're talking a small victory. You're talking one state.
It's a huge victory, Mark. It's 86,000 companies in Wisconsin, sir.
Mark, I don't disagree. But there's also 49 other states that are not taking up that stuff. So,
Mark, I'm gonna cut you off there, not because I want to cut you short, but because we got other people. And I live in this state, and I'm speaking to the policies of this state. A few of the texters had a few things to say. Damn, Mark and Sussex coming through as the soft rock cover of CJ's greatest hits.
Nice.
844-967-2789. Mark, we're just going to try to move down the phones. I'm not sure if it's John or Joan from Boaz. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hi, Devils. This is the greatest radio show ever.
Yeah, baby.
Some people say.
I'd like to say we can look at President Trump's first visit to the White House as president. Do you know what his peers said about him? This is John Bolton's book I'm reading to you. In my government experience, this was the most irrational thing I ever witnessed any president do. What would happen if we ever got into a real crisis with Trump as president? Now,
well, he would cast himself with Putin and the Russians. I don't know why he would, though.
Because he's got interests in Russia that could be traitorous.
John, I don't disagree with you. We just got more fine guests coming, and we got a few more callers we'd like to sneak in today. So appreciate your contribution at 844-967-2789.
We had a big problem. We had a pandemic. We had a global pandemic. Millions of people died, man. I mean, we saw how it panned out.
Trump was totally killing it until then.
Oh, man.
Until the hundreds of thousands of people died unnecessarily and the entire U.S. economy shut down. Up until that point, he was killing it.
Well, he was riding the Obama wave at that point. And what did he do? He passed a tax cut, because that's what Republicans do.
Got a broken leg. Tax cut. It's like Robitussin. Fix anything. 844-967-2789. Let the Tussin get in that bone. Luann from Hale's Quarters. Luann, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Luann.
Hi there. Ben Wickler is so inspiring and hope-filled, and he's right. The voters, I was out knocking on doors last weekend, and the voters I talked to are giving up on the Republican Party, and they're switching over to Democrats because they want to see democracy changed. They want to save it, and that's the sense I'm getting when I'm out talking to people, not the other way around. And the other interesting conversation that comes up too much is, isn't he a little too old? And all you got to say is, well, look at who he surrounds himself with. And then let's compare that to Trump. Everybody's in jail that he surrounds himself with. But our young people, in order to inspire and motivate our young people, I do think we've got work to do. Like Ben said, I think we got to talk to them in their terms and really remind them that we got the Pete Buttigieg, that we got all good people in there surrounding Biden, that, you know, they're doing good work. They're doing great work, like you guys have been talking about. So thanks for taking my call. You guys are awesome.
Well, thank you for listening, Luann. Shout out Hale's Corners, 844-967-2789. Shout out Leftist Coast, our buddy Jake from Eureka, California. How you been, Jake?
Hey, Jake.
Oh, freaking hell, you guys doing. Hey, you know, I can't handle these Republicans talking about the COVID-19 pandemic like it's just something that just happened to the Trump administration. Like, they didn't have anything to do with the fact that 1 million people in America died because they bungled the response. You know, I've been working for our county Department of Health and Human Services for over 20 years, and my recollection of the Trump administration is they were completely incompetent and got more people killed than you could possibly imagine, just because they didn't want to, you know, put up any kind of actual defense to the spread of that disease. They wanted to put their head in the sands and pretend like it wasn't happening. And Donald Trump's best advice to the American public was, inject your lungs with Clorox. Okay? That's what I recall from Donald Trump's presidency.
Well, if you recall, Jake, initially it was really hitting the blue cities worse. It was hitting New York City. And guys like Jared Kushner said, well, this is really a blue city problem. So I think it was a strategic tack taken because, you know, they were not above punishing voters that didn't support their guy. And they thought this was way. And then, of course, it became a national pandemic.
Yeah, no, they didn't care at all until it crossed over into the red states. I do recall that. And I'm sure most of your listeners do recall that it was when it was in New York City, Chicago, L.A., the Republicans and Donald Trump, they couldn't care less. And you know why?
because those are Democratic voters that they were happy to watch die.
Jake, appreciate your contribution. You know, sadly, actuarially speaking, being a Republican supportive voter makes you more likely to die. And I would say there have been lots of Republicans that died since the last election, in no small part because of their leadership, because their leaders, you know, minimized the impact of a COVID-19 pandemic. And they caught it and they died. And I would wonder, have they died in sufficient numbers to move the voting tables? Because if you're talking about Georgia, 12,000 votes or less. Talking about the state of Wisconsin, 21,000 votes. We had more people than that that died of COVID-19. And predominantly, they were Republican supportive because, you know, masks, they're so bothersome.
It's just a cold. Well, and also to bring up, again, talk about the age issue. It's about capability. And does Joe sometimes have a pause in his speeches? Sure. Okay. But have you listened to Trump lately? I mean, for real. So, again, as our pal Joe Zepecki from Zepecki Communications mentioned, you know, don't compare me to the almighty. Compare me to the alternative. 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, you're up. Welcome, Mark. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, thanks. And thanks. And for Mark from Sussex, he's kind of listening to some twisted version of go west, the king of wishful thinking, because I think he's wishing that the Democrats would just all go away and this, that, because the economy is getting better. Unemployment's at a 50-year low. I think we've made up for all the job losses, you know, as a result of COVID. And yes, prices are higher, but that's basic economics is what is driving the price of goods and greed on the part of the of industry in some cases. But you just have to pay attention to the actual facts. Facts are facts, and the Republicans don't care about, you know, they don't care about reproductive rights for women, for one thing, and that's going to be a big issue again in this next election. I mean, so it's not a time to panic. It's just time to get people informed, as this show tries to do on a constant basis. And it just bothers me no end when I hear, you know, falsehoods just being spun out there like they're real facts. I mean, that they're not. They're facts, and there's an alternative facts, and only one of those is correct.
Well, Mark, everyone has a right to their own opinion, but they do not have a right to their own facts.
Mark, I got an article for you to read. Opinion piece, but supported by lots of statistics. Jennifer Rubin, today at the Washington Post. She does a take on, let's call it Bidenomics, this Biden economy. A, near record unemployment rate. B, inflation moderating. But C, here's a factor you don't often hear Republicans talking about. Production levels, the American worker kicking ass and taking names. And the production level of the American worker is up almost 5% this year. So they're working harder. The American worker is going to save this economy. And it's going to be awfully hard to refute when you got low unemployment, high production levels, and a modest inflation level. I mean, that's kicking ass and taking names economically. It's going to be hard to refute that.
And high participation rates as well.
Yes. Come back with us. We'll continue to participate in the greatest radio show ever. We got a fine guest and a friend. She's a sponsor. She's Darcy Haber. We named a studio after her fine brokerage, Solidarity Realty, right here in Madison. Come back. We'll talk a little business.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Are you asking the court to do something that spells out a school funding formula?
This is not about the school finance formula itself. It's about the voucher programs. It says to create a system of public schools. It doesn't say anything about creating two parallel systems and sucking the money out of the public school system and providing it to the private school system, which is what is happening.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 till 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
If they vote not to confirm you, that means essentially you're fired. And they just did it yesterday to 8 Evers appointees. And one of the people that was fired yesterday was Melissa Baldoff.
There's just really not a bottom for them yet. Years ago, I thought, well, it couldn't get worse than this. They found a way to let the bar sink a little bit lower.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 till 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Warning, listening to the Devil's Advocates may expose you to opposing views.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Make sure you download the Civic Media app. It is super cool. You get all the stations on the Civic Media Network. You can find the Devil's Advocates. You can listen to our podcast, the interviews. Hell, you can click on a button and text or call. Again, the Civic Media app. Find it in your app store.
And again, tomorrow, a big show. Gwen Moore, Congresswoman, joining us in the 4 o'clock hour. And at 5:30, new polling, Charles Franklin, pollster extraordinaire. I bet he oversampled Republicans.
Don't they all?
Dom, we got a friend who's joined us live in studio. She is the namesake of the Solidarity Realty Studio. She's the broker proprietor of Solidarity Realty, our friend Darcy Haber. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Hey, good Darcy. To be back and see the studios. I can't believe it's been this long.
I know. You have been our partner for going on like 10 years.
Wow.
Wow, Darcy.
12.
How could that be in that 12. You're like 21 years old at this age?
I have no idea. I know.
Darcy, Solidarity Realty. You're a firm. You wear your politics on your sleeve. When you and I first talked, I thought, there is no better representation of the average Madisonian than your firm.
Well, thanks. People in Madison think that, too, because we've been around for 12 years, and we're doing great through all the ups and downs of the market. And we get rave reviews. Just ask Google.
Just ask Google. I saw you guys at the Willie Street, the big two-day affair.
That was fun.
Located right in the heart of Willie Street Solidarity Realty as a brokerage. Does Willie Street sort of reflect your sentiment, reflect sort of the sentiment of Madison, to your opinion?
Absolutely. I think that's why, and well, that's my neighborhood, that's where I live, and that's where I chose to put our offices, because it's just that inclusivity that I love about Madison, and that offbeat nature. You can do this, you can do that, just don't hurt each other and we're all fine. We're not going to call you on your grass being this high or that high, but, you know, just be kind. That's all.
Be kind. That's a good theory. Darcy, let's talk business for just a minute. Solidarity Realty, a residential real estate brokerage. So how's the market?
Well, you know, we're always supposed to say it's fantastic, but it always slows in November and December, and this year has definitely been slower just due to the interest rates being higher.
And how do you think the average consumer is reacting? My understanding, a lot of people locked in at low rates once upon a time, but some families expand. Some families contract, kids go off to college, whatever the case may be. Are people going to get stuck because of their prior interest rates? Do you think some are going to get stuck in their homes, quote unquote?
I mean, it depends how much they're married to that mortgage rate. I think for new buyers, it's easy to recalibrate. When I first bought my first two unit, my interest rate was 8%, but my tenant living upstairs still paid principal and interest for me. So it's hard when you compare it to what was for this period that we had, but it's actually not a terrible interest rate. And if you need to own a house, or you need to buy a bigger house, or you need to downsize, it's still probably the best option. Better than paying the man.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocate.
Never pay the man.
Darcy Haber, broker owner at Solidarity Realty, joining us in studio. Darcy, always a pleasure to see you. News on, you know, the national real estate firms.
Yeah.
Some lawsuits came through, some commission issues. Can you shed a little bit of light on that and how that might affect people's perception on how your real estate is done?
Sure, I'll try. I mean, I've been wanting to sue the NAR for years now, and the one time they get nailed, it's on something that they're not even doing wrong, frankly, in my view. I think that they're being unfairly accused here. We are not told to set our prices, nor are we even allowed to price set. It's one of the first things we're trained to as realtors. What they're guilty of is having a monopoly on all of us real estate agents. We can't practice real estate without being a member of this far-right Republican front group, which I hate. But what they're being accused of is wrong, and if they take away the current pricing structure, buyers will go without agents, and then they will be really screwed. We will lose the consumer protections we have.
And Darcy, that's because typically the seller pays approximately 6%, 3% to their representative, But usually it's baked into the cake. They're paying 3% to whoever represented the buyer.
Or 5% or 7%.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, whatever the deal
is. It's not a set amount.
Right.
But the thought process is somehow it's unfair labor practice to set the commission for the buyer's agency. But as you mentioned, if the seller's agent's not paying that buyer's commission, 3% when you're buying a new house on top of closing costs, on top of downstrokes on cloth, furniture, all the stuff, moving expenses, that can become cumbersome. Exactly. I mean, I'm sure I'm a cheap guy. There are times I probably would have avoided that expense personally.
Yeah, and not realizing what you're trading off in, you know, what you, all the deals that we've gotten people out of after inspection that they would have stayed in because they didn't know how to get out of it afterwards, that would have cost them way more money in the long run. So if they do take away this bundling of fees on one end, it'll come in another end. The whole point is it needs to be financed by the transaction because people don't have thousands of dollars lying around. So it has to happen somehow. We don't really care how it happens, but buyers need to be represented.
And in this changing economy, really in any economy, I've never loved the idea of doing business with a rookie. Give me someone experienced, seasoned, someone that knows what they're doing, a few hundred thousand, perhaps real estate transactions under their belt. Darcy, do you envision people will need any sort of particular guidance or tell them why they need you in the next year or two?
Oh, because it's still going to be a really tight market. Even if we have fewer transactions, there's still a lack of inventory. People want to move to Madison and the greater Dane County area. So there's competition even now for every house on the market. So you need our expertise to make sure that you can navigate that, get the winning offer, but also without waiving all your protection so that, you know, you hear these nightmare stories about people waiving inspection. Well, there are different... there are ways to reduce that risk. And sometimes we sneak in pre-inspections. You know, they're different tricks of the trade that I can't reveal right now on the air, but they are up my sleeve.
You're like a real estate ninja. Solidarity Realty right here in Madison, Wisconsin, serving this community for 12 years. Darcy, if people want to explore your services, and obviously it's not just you, it's you and your associates, but if they want to do so, how do they reach out to Solidarity Realty?
They just go to solidarityrealty.com, and there's a big, you know, orange form says, you know, contact us. You can also go to the Meet Our Team page, look at the agents, pick one out, and email them directly. Either way.
Solidarity Realty. There is an alternative.
Thank you so much for having me.
Make sure you get a hold of Solidarity Realty before you go to the open house. Right, Darcy?
Yes, absolutely. Good idea.
Our fine sponsor and friend, Darcy Haber, thank you so much. Thank you, Ben Wickler, Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chair, Joe Zepecki, Zepecki Communications, and Angela Lang from Block, Black Leaders Organizing Communities. Another big show tomorrow with Gwen Moore and Charles Franklin. And stick around, Maggie Dawn is next, followed by Busted Pencils, Educated Educators Talking Education. Keep it locked right here, Civic Media. Another great show. You're welcome.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is Civic Media. This is Civic Media.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt US Kids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.